Hi, this is Patrick Finlay at the Chicago Sun-Times. He's Jason Leisure and he's Mark Potash. And guys, coming up, we will talk about the Bears' upcoming game against the Vikings and make our predictions. We will ask whether the Bears' play caller sees what the rest of us see. And we will, of course, break down what Justin Fields needs to do better. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Potsy, it is Vikings week. The Bears are getting ready to face an offense like they haven't seen so far this season, at least in terms of weapons. But as always, everybody in town wants to talk about Justin Fields. On Thursday, offensive coordinator Luke Getsy said that he didn't sense that Fields had had a bad month. Is that him saying what he's supposed to say? Is that him showing a disconnect from what the rest of us see? Is it both? Is it neither? What is it?
I'm starting to wonder a little bit, although I mean, that's just basically the way he definitely has a different perspective than we do. We're almost on opposite ends of the spectrum. We print every day, okay? So everything is much more, whether it should be or shouldn't be, everything is much more defining. Everything he does is, everything that the Bears do is defining. Case in point, the red zone.
Right.
The red zone the first 2 weeks was, they were 5 of 7. Mm-hmm. Which is 71%, which would lead the league last year. But nobody said anything. Nobody asked questions. Why are you so good in the red zone? Why? Right. Because it was too early. It wasn't enough of a sample size. They have 1 week where they're 0-3, and all of a sudden the questions every day, Monday, Wednesday, and today, how can you be better in the red zone? And that's that defined it as a problem, even though it was a problem for one day. You know, it's like, what can you do better? Well, we can play another team. That's what we can do better because it's random. Well, so my point is, everything is defining – to us,
right?
To him, to the Bears, to Luke Getsy, this, for all we know, could be a 2-year project.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying? They could be in their minds. They could be, let's establish something this year on offense and defense, as we're seeing, and let's get more weapons or whatever, draft picks, whatever, the next year, and we'll see where we're at after year two. Mm-hmm. So I think we're seeing a good example because we're so micro on Fields.
Right.
And not that we shouldn't be, but we are. It's just the two different ways we see it.
As somebody who wrote 1,000 words on Red Zone Monday for Tuesday's newspaper, I think part of the concern is their lack of success, yes, but also their lack of balance. I think they went 21 plays without letting Fields throw in the red zone. Now, Jason, we could sit here and say, well, they're better at running. Of course, they'll skew that way. But there's a difference, and this has been a theme all year, between short-term progress and long-term gains. And the long-term gains you have to make are Justin Fields related, right?
Yeah, you really need to – you need – like, plan A would be that you need him to become your franchise quarterback. Plan B is to see enough and provide enough of a litmus test to determine that he isn't and know what you need to do right away to move forward with somebody else. And I don't know what we're – I don't know what we've accomplished 4 games in, because he's worse so far than he was last year, which is really saying something and almost hard to believe, but how could you deny it? The numbers say it, Pat.
Right. No, absolutely.
And also, as has often been the case around here, the problems, you just run in circles trying to figure out the problems. It's a shell game constantly of, well, he's not hitting receivers, but they're not open. He's not standing in the pocket, but he doesn't have time.
Well, and
the
offensive
coordinator's not calling pass plays for him, but he's not doing anything to show the offensive coordinator that he should.
Right. Oh, or
everything's wrong.
Or as we found out this week, Darnell Mooney, the person who literally on Ryan Poles's first day of the scouting combine, is one of two people he singles out as the guy that we have on our team that we are proud of and that we're happy with. He's run the wrong route 3, 4, 5 times. I mean, he's admitted it to us as much. These are problems that a lot of it is Fields making, but like you said, it's all a mess. It's not just one thing.
It's the same template we saw with Trubisky, where he's part of the problem, but they're doing a bunch of things that are working against him.
Are you quoting the great Mark Potash and saying it's not the quarterback, it's the offense?
Oh, is that what I say?
What you've said before.
Well, yeah. Jason does bring up a good point because, and I don't want to sound alarms too early, but we keep seeing every week small indications of these red flags that we saw in the Trubisky era. Case in point, when Fields, when Fields had Mooney open, I think when he ran the wrong route, nonetheless, he was open. And instead of instinctively just making the play that was there and improvising, what a thing for a quarterback to do. He says, I just did what I was told to do. And that's the kind of robotic thing that defined what Mitch Trubisky was. It's what he said when he left, now I don't have to be so robotic. When he went to Buffalo and Pittsburgh, it's like, now he can be more instinctive. It's like they took the instinct out of him. That was his complaint. But we're back to the situation, and we talked about this last week, I think, where when Fields came in, he just by the eye test looked like he had played the position before and had an instinct for the position. And I'm losing that vision of him. And that's another great example. It's one play, maybe it's not, but all I'm saying is that stuck in my head is, wow, can't you just make the play any quarterback would make? Don't not. It's like he's being overtaught. I guess that would be my point. My argument is that I think he's overprogrammed. And maybe this is the step back that he'll take before he takes two steps forward. That's an optimistic viewpoint. But in four games in, I think that you can't argue. I mean, you can't argue and say that's absolutely wrong. It could be right. But that's where we are right now, where he's looking too much like Trubisky.
Is that if he looks like, you know, when we sit up in the press box, we can a lot of times sit there and watch him read one, two, and three. And is being robotic, Jason, something that comes with the territory of he's played four games under this new offense? He's, you know, he didn't have that much experience last year, really, you know, when you look at the fact that he started 10 games. Is that a little bit of this was to be expected, right? And how do we balance he's learning with he's got to show us more?
Yeah, I think what tells you the truth on there is that he's the worst quarterback in the NFL statistically right now.
Sure, absolutely.
This isn't like he's doing okay. He's kind of holding his own. He's just kind of middle of the pack. And maybe the breakthrough is coming. He is at the bottom by far. I mean, he's completing, what, 50% of his passes?
Yeah, 51%.
And I can't get over that.
Luke Getsy said something interesting today where somebody accusatorily said he's only completing 50.8% of his passes. And Getsy's like, well, it should be less because he needs to be throwing the ball out of bounds instead of taking sacks, which I thought was a interesting way to look at it, a clever way to look at it.
But let me overanalyze it and say, I think that just shows how comfortable he is with where he is in the process right now. He's not worried about making himself look worse in an argument by saying his completion percentage should actually be worse than it is.
Right.
But that, again, goes to another thing that I kind of wanted to get to last week and this week and never got to. Is another thing that's the quarterback development issue is just the accuracy. You know, he missed three big throws against the Texans? Wait. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Houston. Okay. Yep. The two interceptions and that swing pass to Ebner. And then he missed another couple the other day against the Giants. And it's like, why are these young quarterbacks can't make the simple pass?
Right.
I'm not worried about his completion percentage being bad because he's can't thread the needle. You figure that will come. It's those simple passes. And so the inaccuracy is actually, to me, is a bigger issue. But I guess my original point is that Getsy's not – he's not unnerved or fazed by anything that's happening right now, even to the point where he can tell you, yeah, it's even worse than you think. And I think that, to me, it's a sign he's comfortable. Whether he's right or wrong long term, we'll see. But at least right now, he's comfortable where he's at in the big picture of this entire process.
I think, Pat, there seemed to be some self-preservation at play at Luke Getsy's press conference Thursday, where if you think about internally in the building, who are they going to point to if things don't go well for Justin Fields this year? Mm-hmm. Luke Getsy is the guy that would be the most in question.
Sure.
Not Eberflus and Poles. They're not going to fire themselves over this.
Right. Yeah, I don't know that he did much to separate himself from Fields, though. I mean, if anything, he was – are you saying that he was defending Fields to defend himself?
Yeah, when he's saying it's going well.
Yes.
Who needs this to go well more to keep the job more than Luke Getsy?
Yeah, there's a way to argue that if you're him, too. You could sit there and go – we're 2-2. The month couldn't have been that bad. Of course he needs to get better at stuff and move on. But instead, I mean, he challenged kind of the premise, which was my premise, so I'll take it a little personally, that he had a rough month. Of course he's had a rough month. Nobody playing quarterback has had a more rough month. He's had a rough year. Or his month has been so bad, it's been a bad year.
He's so far at the bottom.
Right.
I mean, it's like not even close.
Right.
He's like 15 points behind Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
In passer rating.
Who just lost his job. Potsy, is there any reason?
It's like hitting 20 points lower than Mendoza. That's an old reference.
Mendoza line, when you bat 200.
Baseball, I get it. Yeah,
you bat 200. Potsy, is there any reason to think that major improvement will show itself on Sunday. Like you said, a lot of times these things aren't linear.
Yes.
A lot of times it's fits and starts. We've had a lot of fits, but not many starts.
Yeah, I'm not expecting anything at this point. Just because, like we talked, asked Alan Williams about defensive things. You know, the lapses they had with their eye discipline, losing eye discipline, which seemed to be kind of a catchphrase, I guess, or catch term, I guess, whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that just to me does not seem like something that automatically will fix it. I guess you can be good one week and bad the next, so I guess it's possible. But what I'm saying is, if they do fix it, it doesn't mean it's fixed for good.
No.
It just means this is what happened this week. That's where, again, it comes back to this micro versus macro kind of viewpoint, you know, where, you know, we're going to define the Bears by how they respond against the Vikings, and this might just be one little blip. Mm-hmm. That might be bad. If it's good this week, it'll be bad the next, and that's just where they're at. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, I expect them to. I would think that they would improve. Mm-hmm. I think on both sides of the ball, but I just don't know what it would mean once you see it. It's just that's where they're at in their development.
Would eye discipline be the greatest band name if it's 1984 and you're playing punk music? What do you think?
I don't know. I'm really bad with band names, but I like the Beatles. That was the best.
Oh, because they keep a beat, but also they're like the Bugs.
Just because they're great rock and roll.
Yeah, I get it.
Part of the point that this has dwindled to is like the big hope this week for the offense is that N'Keal Harry and Velus Jones are going to be part of it. A guy who has been hurt all year in N'Keal Harry and a former first-round pick who flamed out with New England, right. Which that doesn't really happen there. You think of places where it's like if a guy doesn't work out in – like New England or Pittsburgh,
right.
Places like that, you kind of really scratch your head. And Velus Jones has never shown us anything as far as the offense goes, has had trouble staying on the field because he's been hurt. And when he's been in on special teams, there's been little glitches.
Velus Jones spent a month plus coming back from a hamstring injury, almost 2 months, had setbacks, pushed through it. Got the green light to play on Sunday and was put on the field for exactly zero offensive plays. If you're wondering how easy it is to jump back in the offense and help, I don't think it is. I think you need to have the right timing. I think you need to have a certain chemistry with Justin Fields. And I don't think it's fair to expect N'Keal Harry to have that on Sunday. I don't think it's fair to expect Velus Jones to have it on Sunday. I asked Matt Eberflus earlier this week, hey, is there a difference between throwing a rookie in there and throwing a guy with experience? And he said, no, kind of not really. He said, it just depends on the guy. I don't think N'Keal Harry will help in the short term. I don't know whether Velus Jones will. Maybe we'll see some fly sweeps or some runs or something like that. But God, Potsy, when you're leaning on guys like a third round pick and somebody who the Bears traded a seventh rounder next year, literally the least
available for free,
literally the least you could ever trade somebody for. When you're pointing to those guys as, well, maybe those guys can help, that's a bad sign, right?
We've seen it. I know I'm repeating myself, but I've seen this so many times in 25 years of covering the Bears that it's not surprising. And that I know that it's, you know, this guy's not, even though he might be a quality prospect or whatever at one point, the first-round draft pick in Harry, but whether or a third-round pick in Jones, my expectations are zero. The only thing I expect is there to be a huge scrum around N'Keal Harry in the locker room as the next, you know, the next great hope for a Bears receiver. Mm-hmm. In fact, I looked up last night. I was trying to find a picture that I took in the locker room of a similar scrum.
Dontrell Inman
around Dontrell. Very good, Pat. That was gonna be a quiz actually, a Twitter quiz. Who is this guy? I kind of took the Babe Ruth shot from behind with everybody. And it was just, and the reason I did it was because, wow, this guy had just been acquired from the
San Diego Chargers.
From the Chargers.
San Diego Chargers.
And it was like, this is the next great hope. And the scrum around him, it's everybody, a lot of people still here. It was really interesting. But I guess the real point is that I've seen this thing so many times, I thought, you know, that's the first thing that popped in my mind is, wow, here we go again. And I'm predicting in the locker room, if he talks, that we're going to see that same thing because the Bears have always just needed a receiver.
But in the short term, Inman, I believe, was their best receiver the rest of the year.
Yeah.
In the long term, he left at the end of the year, never came back. Didn't do anything for Mitch Trubisky's development long term. So anything they do is going to be a patch, right? I mean, there's nobody available that can help beyond this year. And the guys they have are, you know, among the worst in the league.
Yeah, the offense, with what they bring in, the offense has to grow the receivers and the quarterback more than the receiver. You know, this is not like you're bringing in Jaylen Waddle or A.J. Brown. You know, those are guys who raised the quarterback, you know what I'm saying? And we're talking to the opposite ends of the spectrum here. They're bringing in quality, you know, talented guys, but just they're fringe. They're roster fringe guys, or certainly at starter level. And that's where we're at.
Jason, Potsy brought up Twitter, and I was gonna ask this question earlier, but it reminded me. Potsy, you put up a poll, I think, over the weekend, and it was, what would you rather see happen? Justin Fields to improve by leaps and bounds on Sunday, but the Bears lose, or Fields keeps doing what he's doing and the Bears win? And what was the final score, like 80-20 people?
I think it was like 73-27 maybe, I can't remember. I didn't see the final.
73% of Bears fans voted for the Bears to lose. That's the right way to look at it, though, isn't it?
Because you're winning in the long term.
Right.
If you have this is the only way to win.
Right.
Is to have the franchise quarterback. You are not going to keep winning these 19-11 games like against the 49ers. That's not a blueprint or template of any kind going forward.
And for the record, neither circumstance or situation scenario happened.
We got the worst of both worlds. You think? Guys, before
although
we...
they say there's some steps for Fields, so you know, so that's what they're telling us.
You can't see the smirk on Potsy's face when he said that.
Potsy, can you name one guy that they brought in this offseason that's an asset to Fields, that's a plus for Fields?
Well, I think Lucas Patrick has been helpful. I don't think we can tell, but you don't think so?
He's been getting mauled.
Braxton Jones?
He's been. I mean, he's had his moments too. So yeah, I mean, I don't think not a bust. Yeah, but nobody who's been, like, playing at a Pro Bowl level, but that's because the offense is not very good. So I guess to answer your question, no, not really.
I think that
you're talking about offensively?
Yeah, like, making the defense better does help him, because when you get takeaways or when you hold a team to 20 points like they did the Giants, you give him a chance. But directly on offense, personnel that has helped.
No, because Pringle's hurt. And
made things better for Justin Fields.
No, not really. I mean,
hard to find somebody. And I thought at the time this was a problem. This isn't revisionist history. Like, I thought... You need to cut salary. You need to tear down financially here to be able to build in the future. But you can't do it at the expense of developing Justin Fields. And here we are sitting here saying, who can we point to and say, this is a good thing that you brought in. This is an upgrade. Right. This is an asset. This helps Justin
Fields.
Yeah, I agree.
But this is the bet they made that they knew they were making. And maybe they expected to get more out of it than they did. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't like they thought they brought in guys who were going to, you know, all of a sudden turn Fields into a star. I think they knew that what was going to happen. It's just not working out.
I would argue to you, and it's not a sexy argument by any stretch, but Equanimeous St. Brown, maybe? I mean,
it's a modest. Yeah, but yeah.
Eight catches?
Yeah, and a touchdown. Yeah. And, you know, if you believe the blocking stats, he's one of the best two or three blocking receivers in the world. Maybe he's been helpful, but man, you got to go pretty far down on the list. Guys, we're going to unveil our Bears-Vikings picks, but real quick before we do that, let's just talk about Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook. The Bears defensive coordinator called them a two-headed monster today. Potsy, we've...
Not to slight any of the other players on the Vikings.
Right.
Yeah. He did say that.
He didn't make that. I just thought it was interesting that he would go that far. Usually they don't. Usually no. In this day and age, they won't even go that far. They're at the risk of offending all the other, you know, Vikings receivers and tight ends and running backs.
Sorry, Adam Thielen. Potsy, there were years where Vic Fangio would shut down Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook would average something like 70 yards a game against everybody else and 20 yards per game.
Without Roquan and Akeem Hicks, their best run-stopping – second-best run-stopping lineman and their best run-stopping linebacker.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
But which one are you more worried about, Cook or Jefferson?
Well, after last week, I would say Cook. But, no, I think Jefferson, by far, he can make even more big plays. And he's just really good. The interesting thing is that you have to remember, and I get the angst about not having Jalen Johnson on the field. Mm-hmm. But the last time the Bears played the Vikings, there were concerns about him getting breaking the all-time record.
Right.
Flipper Anderson or something, like 300 and something yards. And the Bears not only were missing they were missing Eddie Jackson, they were missing Jalen Johnson. They had an entire makeshift secondary with Marquis Christian and Tease Tabor. And Justin Jefferson had four catches for 47 yards and a touchdown. A real modest, for him against the Bears, a modest modest production. So what I'm saying is that doesn't mean that you're automatically going to shut him down or he's not going to be an issue. Right. But it's not like it's an automatic that, right. that you're going to have a big problem. But I will say, to answer your question, I think he's just so good. And they and that also because they've had such a handle for the most part on Dalvin Cook, he just has not been that destructive of a force that I think Justin Jefferson is the bigger issue.
Justin Jefferson last year in the finale finished the season 16 yards shy of Randy Moss's franchise record. And one thing I remember from that game is Mike Zimmer taking him out of the game because they were killing the Bears by the end and not feeding him to get him that record, which I thought was bizarre. Jason, you have your phone out with some sort of statistic in front of you.
Well, I just think this is a huge problem. Yeah. I mean, Justin Jefferson is a problem for everybody. Mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook is Pro Bowl the last 3 years. He's been a problem for everybody. Mark, you say that they've always had a handle on Dalvin Cook. They have, but this isn't they. This is different Bears.
Yeah. Not as much recently.
This is a different, totally different team.
But I'm saying that's what colored my opinion, is that in the back of my head, I've never really considered Dalvin Cook someone who just kills the Bears, so I don't see it as the biggest threat. He might be, but it's always the wide receiver with the Bears and the Vikings.
I think you might have a hard time picking which one of them is the biggest problem when we get to Sunday night, because they both hit they both strike a nerve with the Bears. They both hit real problem areas, and we've been talking for a long time, Pat. Oh, this is all last season we're talking about. Yeah. They got at corner Jalen Johnson and no one else.
Right.
Well, now it's just no one else because Jalen Johnson's been hurt. Alan Williams was talking about, kind of the essence of what he was saying is like, we could manage Dalvin Cook or we could reasonably manage Justin Jefferson, which I don't know if you can. Mm-hmm. But both of them, that's where you start to sweat. Mm-hmm. That's where he says you have a full plate. Well, having Jalen Johnson would at least give you a chance.
He also said something that I'm not sure I've ever heard a defensive coordinator say, which is he says the numbers say that they should try to run the ball down our throats and then try and beat us deep on play action. That's what the numbers say.
And so they probably will.
They probably will. Yeah, given the game plan.
It's because he wants them to so that he'll be ready for it. And it's three psychological.
He's playing 4D chess. Is that what you're saying?
I liked, though, when you talk about the weapons that the Vikings have, and then you get to Kirk Cousins, and it's like, do I want to build my team around Kirk Cousins? No.
I think
but he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
You asked a question, Pat, to Alan Williams. How does Kirk Cousins orchestrate all of these and use all of these pieces? Mm-hmm. And I thought his answer was perfect. He said, well.
Well.
That's perfect. Well, he doesn't do it excellently.
Right.
He doesn't do it poorly. He does it well. He does fine.
But look at who the Bears have faced this season. They faced Trey Lance. They faced Davis Mills. They faced Daniel Jones.
Tyrod
Taylor, very good. Aaron Rodgers, he's pretty good. Yeah, the best quarterback in the world. But, I mean, you could argue in the first half of the season, Kirk Cousins might be the second best quarterback they face in the first half of the season. I mean, he's better than Carson Wentz coming up. He's certainly better than Mac Jones. I think when you've got the pieces that he has on offense, he can just be the point guard who puts people in the right position as long as it's not on a Sunday or Monday night, because then he turns into me playing point guard.
And, they have a new offense Kevin O'Connell, I'm not sure exactly where they are in the rankings at this point. I don't think they're
middling. I think the middle.
Doors off. But anyway, he has another one of those Sean McVay protege guys who you always think is, really good. And a guy like Kirk Cousins in his hands, probably not going to get worse.
Right.
So, it's the same old thing with Kirk Cousins. He can beat you and he can beat himself. So,
sure.
So and against the Bears, the only question is, is the Bears defense in shape to do that, like the Fangio and, post-Fangio teams were kind of able to do? Because you're looking at a defense right now that was so intent on stopping Saquon Barkley that they not only lost the quarterback, but they lost the running back too.
Right.
So they were there. And I felt like, I know – a lot was talked about, like, it was execution and eye discipline. I think they also got out-schemed a little bit. I think the Bears coaches got out-foxed on both sides of the ball. I heard players say, we didn't expect that. I think it was Roquan who said something about the running quarterback. We weren't expecting that. And on offense, you had, well, we were expecting these exotic blitzes and we didn't get them. I just think the Bears kind of got flummoxed a little bit by from a coaching X and O standpoint. And I'm not sure if that will happen again this week. It could be worse, I guess.
Yet another first-time head coach who he's going up against. That's two in a row who had never done it before, and three in a row if you want to count Lovie Smith coaching his third NFL franchise. Guys, we have picks. We are all on the side of the Minnesota Vikings. Potsy, your score is 23-17.
Yes, that's a cover for the Bears.
Jason, I've got
you. Hold on, a chance that could happen.
Jason, I've got you at 25-17.
Yeah, I don't even think the Vikings are that good. I think you think they're good.
I do.
Yeah, you think the Vikings would be pretty good and maybe challenge Green Bay in the division. I just really don't think they're that good, but they're more than this team can handle.
Sure.
And no hedge for me this week. This is what I actually think is most likely to happen. The Vikings are a team that the Bears have handled at home. The Vikings have their own issues, or at least under Mike Zimmer they did, or in previous coaching staffs they have. And so it's, anything can happen in this one, but I just think the Bears are going to, I think they're going to bounce back a little bit after a bad game and play this one pretty tight.
Potsy, what if the injury report comes out Friday and Jalen Johnson is a go and David Montgomery is a go?
I don't know if that would change anything.
Really? So yeah. Really no hedge?
Yeah, no, no hedge. No, not even, yeah, okay. Yeah, no, no. Wow. I just I feel like the Bears can handle, or they can either handle Justin Jefferson or get totally burned right no matter who's on the field.
I thought I could easily get into
hedge. Yeah, no, he will. No hedge.
Sunday night he'll tell us that he didn't believe it. Yeah, and it is worth mentioning that David Montgomery does have a chance to play on Sunday. We'll see how that develops during the week. I've got a 28-10 Vikings. I just think the offensive firepower is something the Bears have not seen this season, even from Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And I don't think it'll be pretty. And boy, you look at the schedule, maybe they've got a chance against Washington and New England, but the second half of the season, there might be a lot of games just like this.
I agree.
How depressing that is. Anyway, he's Mark.
Good finish.
He's Mark Potash. Yeah. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Be sure to check us out at the Sun-Times in newsprint and in their website, which now is free. There is no more paywall. You can read all of us all you would like. Follow us on Twitter, and please like, rate, and review the podcast. Thank you so much. We will be back
again
real soon.